Praise God. Let's read together. Blessed is the man. Oh, blessed is the man. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And we remember we spoke about this word blessed. Can somebody tell me what is one meaning of the word blessed?
Favor.
What else? Fortunate. Beautiful and prosperous. There we go. So you could write it in your book if you don't have it. This word means to be blessed, to be favored, to be fortunate, meaning you come to the front. All right? You come from the back. Where do you come? To the front. You are fortunate and you are prosperous. So put your hand on your head and say, I am prosperous. Say, I am prosperous. And I will prosper in New York City. Say, I will prosper. I don't have to go to Georgia. I'll prosper in New York. Hello, I don't have to go to Florida. A lot of people say they're moving because of the mayor. We bless the new mayor and we pray God touch him and let him work for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, your walk and your talk got to match. So don't curse the mayor and expect him to work for you. So Mr. Mamdani, welcome to the mayor's office. We bless you in Jesus' name. God will use whoever he has to use. I said, God, the Bible says, pray. Remember, what was the thing on Wednesday night? Bishop Prem spoke about what? Intercession. Pray for kings. Pray for those in authority that we may lead a peaceable life. When you pray for them, we can live peaceful. You with me? So let your talk match your walk. Good. Blessed is the man that what? Oh, wow. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, let me help you now. Fortunate is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Prosperous is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And favored is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But look at this now. But his delight, the place where he finds his joy, is in the law of the Lord. Is in the law. Lift up your law. This is our law. The word of God is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate how? Day and night. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Let our walk and our talk match up today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? The counsel of the ungodly is the counsel of the world's system. It is the counsel of the world's system. And the systems of the world often seem to be in opposition to the system of God. Take, for example, a school. School in 100 some years ago, used to be a place where you can pray, where you learn the word. The first schools in America were built by churches. Harvard University was a seminary before it became a university. Princeton was a seminary or a Christian school before it became part of, they call it now, the Ivy League. They rebranded and put fake prestige to it. They put a facade of prestige on it when it has lost prestige with God. A lot of times the world has its own balance or its own scale. They weigh based on the wisdom of man. They weigh based on the ideology of great philosophers. Like we have Sigmund Freud and we have John Locke and we have all these people from the Enlightenment age, which we then call men of great thoughts or the great thinkers, and then we adapt them. But much of the confusion that exists in the world is because we follow the counsel of the ungodly. We didn't stop and say, does it line up with the word of God? Does it line up with the law of the Lord? Is it something that will make us, or is it something that will break us in the end? You see, the devil is subtle. The devil is subtle, crafty, and cunning. He doesn't come and say, hey, I'm setting up a system that will destroy your family. I'm setting up a system that's going to destroy your kids. I'm setting up a system, and my God, no. He doesn't do that. But he presents a nice facade. On the outside, it looks like it's liberating. Let's liberate people. Let's look at this. Let's liberate women. Let's liberate same-sex people. Let's take them out of the closet. So it's like you are trapped. But let's take you out and let's liberate you. It sounds good, but it leads to a road of destruction. The Bible says, what? It looks right in the eyes of man, but in the end, it is what? Destructive. So the word of God says to us today, blessed. Now, these are hard preaching. These are not the nice, make us comfy, sit, feel good, pamper, pat me up, powder me up. I'm a dirty puss, but powder me up and send me home. No, this is things that will cause us to check ourselves and see where we're walking. See who we're really following. See what counsel we are taking. See who are the voices we're listening to. Do we value the news more than the word of God? Do we value our professors more than the word of God? Do we value the paychecks that we get more than God? I'm looking at a sister right now. She said, Pastor, I had to leave a certain industry because there was witchcraft here. She was a producer and she had to leave it behind because she said the witchcraft in the music is unimaginable. She's sitting in this room. But we have to come and see what it is we delight in. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant the desires of your heart. The devil tells us the lies that if we don't do it the world's way, we will never make it. If we don't do it the world's way, we're going to become a nobody. If we don't do it out the world's way, we're never going to be great. But here I want to tell you this morning, the Bible says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and God made him the father of nations. God made him. He said, through you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We are sitting and standing today because of one man that chose to believe God and delight when he heard the voice of God, and God tell him, leave your family, leave everything behind, come with me, walk with me, and I'll make your name great. The counsel of the world says, be fearful, but Jesus shows up and says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. You don't have to be jacked up, walking on the street like a zombie. Yesterday, I went to Manhattan and I observed the people's faces. Some of them got some strange walk, and their eyes look like it's popping out of the socket. They're just walking around like this. You ever seen that? They're high. Nice, good-looking people. People have probably come from good homes, good family, but they got caught in the web of counsel. You got to be careful of people you listen to. Hey, he says, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. It said, the Bible says, bad friends corrupt good morals. It corrupts it. It don't tell me, oh, I'm so strong and I'm going to test the waters. We're going to be trying to throw lifeguards to save you when you're drowning in the water of bad counsel. I want to tell you today, stand tall, stand strong, stand firm, and delight yourself in the law of the Lord, because there is a blessing that is stored up for those who will obey the word of God. This is how we enjoy the blessings of God. It says, come out from among them, be separate. Oftentimes, we don't want to separate. We don't want to separate. We don't want to separate from what we know. We don't want to separate from, I don't know why I keep preaching this thing almost every week. We don't want to separate from who we know. We don't want to separate from what we know. We don't want to separate from what we're comfortable in. But we, I want to tell you, in the kingdom, separation often equals promotion. Joseph, separation equals promotion. Moses, separation is equivalent to what? Promotion. Esther had to leave Mordecai's house and go into a time of preparation to separate herself to the king so that the people can be delivered. I want to tell you, don't be afraid of separation. Ruth had to leave her other sister-in-law that says she's going back. And she said, listen to me, Mara, you might be bitter now, but I see the God that you serve. I've heard about the deliverance he delivered the people. We heard how he brought them out. Out of the Red Sea. I heard how he caused the armies to bow. I heard how he confused the enemies. I heard. So now I believe, and I will separate myself. Blessed are the people that will delight themselves in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate. We have to learn to meditate. Don't leave meditation for the Buddhists. We should be the chief meditators. I said we should be the chief meditators. I said we should be the chief meditators. We should be the people that meditate. When we wake up, we meditate on God's word. Before we go to bed, we meditate on the word. When you get your lunch break, after you eat your lunch, find the word. And maybe you remember what you spoke about, what you read in the morning, and meditate on it yet again. Because what you meditate on, you become. I said, what you meditate on, you become. We see Emma. Emma was taking this class called Organic Chemistry. She took it the first semester. She couldn't get it. It was so hard. It was so difficult. She couldn't understand it. I remember that when I went to DeVry, I got a scholarship. I went to DeVry. And I said, ooh, I'm going to do electronic and computer technology. When the man started to talk to me about circuit boards and resistors, and it was like a strange language. I'm like, what am I doing here? I wasn't made for this. I don't understand what he's saying. The scholarship is nice, but I don't get it. So I left, praise the Lord. I got out of there. But Emma took this class, and it's called Organic Chemistry, and she couldn't get it. But guess what? She dropped it last year, but she took it about again this year. And you know what she did now? She became more intentional to study more. She said, I'm going to study more. I'm going to dedicate my time to understanding her. So I asked her the other day, I said, how was organic chemistry? She said, I actually like it. At first, when you begin reading the Bible, you may not understand it. You may not get it. But when you sit on the word, when you sit in the word, it will fill your heart with peace. It'll fill your heart with joy. It'll fill your heart with hope. It gives you a vision of what God, how God sees you, how your future will look. It lets you understand that you are blessed. Coming out, going in the city, in the field, wherever you go, the blessing goes before you, waiting on you to show up, and it will manifest itself. That's what the word says, and now you can live it. But what you must do? Meditate. Find your delight. Find your delight. Find your delight. Find your delight. Whatever you're delighting, you have pleasure. Put that word there, pleasure. Whatever you delight in, you have pleasure. It gives you great pleasure. Some of you coming to church gives you great pleasure. You can't wait for Sunday morning. What it does, it gives you great pleasure. Amen? We got to have pleasure in the Word of God. The world says, get anxious, give up. Your troubles are going to sink you. But the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, He delivers them out of them all. Not some, but He delivers you out of them. So watch the counsel you're taking. Be careful with the confessions that you make over your life. Be careful with the words that you say. Be careful with the thoughts. Hold on. He said He will grant the desires of your heart. Is that your words? No. It's what you're thinking on. What you're thinking on. What you're thinking on. What is it that is burning in your heart? He sees the heart. Man looks where? On the outside. What does God see? Your heart. God sees your heart. He knows your intentions. He checks the motives. 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 Motives of your heart. We often judge people by their words and their body language, but God sees heart. And He doesn't have a backseat view. He has an up close. The Bible says we are an open book before God. We are an open book before God. That's why God says every secret sin will reveal on the housetop. Because He has a front seat to everything that we're meditating on. Everything. That's why every day you wake up, you say, "Word, Lord, forgive me." Words, thoughts, and deeds. Say, "Lord, purge me." That's why David says, "Let the meditation of my what? Heart be what? Acceptable. Let the meditation of my heart be." A lot of times, a lot of things don't work. Even marriages don't work because of how you think about your spouse. You don't even give them a chance to do right. You're thinking that they're wretched, evil, and wicked. A lot of times your kids and you never get along because of what you've stored up about them. Some of you can, your parents are so kind and nice to you, but you can't receive it because of what you store in your heart. You want me to tell you something? If you're not going to forgive nobody, God is not going to hear your prayers. I said God will not hear your prayers. You can pray from now till the cows come home. They're going to go moo and give milk and even give beef. And you're going to be stuck with an unanswered prayer. Forgiveness. Amen. You've got to forgive. The Bible says, forgive us this day our what? Debts as we what? Forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus said, if you will not forgive the people that are in front of you, how will your heavenly Father forgive you? This thing is real, church. We got to go into a forgiveness series and we'll see it. But the world says, don't forgive. You know why? The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He knows that if you don't forgive, you're going to have high blood pressure. He wants to kill you out. He wants you to be sick. He wants you to be feeble. He wants you to be broken. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be oppressed. He don't want you to enjoy life. He don't want you to have the joy of the Lord. So He tells you these things. And the system of the world goes along. Say what you may about what happened to Charlie Kirk, but his wife went up and she said, "The one that shot my husband, I forgive him." You know what that takes? The Spirit of God working in a person. Somebody kill your husband and you go up and say, "I forgive you." That's not easy. That is not easy. But what? Thank God that He gives the strength. Thank God that He empowers. We don't walk by our own strength. But they that know their God shall be what? Strong. Because you're strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in who? The Lord. And in the power of his might. Too often we want to forgive in our own strength. We want to love in our own love. We want to give with our own kindness. No, let kindness from the Holy Ghost flow. Let the forgiving power of God work within you. Say, Lord, I don't know how to forgive, but I know you know. Give me the strength. Give me the strength. Help me to forget. Help me to what? Forget. Help me to move on. Help me not to be held hostage. Because you know what? The things that you're not pleased with are not bigger than your purpose. The things that you're not pleased with are not bigger than your purpose. Too often we look at what please and what don't please, and we forget that there's a bigger thing called purpose. That we've been set on the earth for a purpose. And God has called you and give you gifts, ability, and talents. But we let too much outward things that we have no control of hinder our purpose. And then we blame it on Tom, Dick, Harry, and Kerry. And we say, because of her and because of him, I didn't go anyway. And I want to tell you, the God that you serve is a deliverer. If Joseph had went down to Egypt and played victim all his life, he would have remained in the prison. He would have been being the head of the prison. Oh yeah, he would have been great down there. But we would have never seen the exploits that God had positioned him in the earth to perform. That he would become the people that would lead the greatest empire of its time called Egypt through a famine into a time of holding them through the famine until the famine end. If he had held on to being the victim, he would have never gotten to become second in command in all of Egypt. Watch the counsel you take. I said, watch the counsel you take. Blessed people take righteous counsel. Blessed people, you understand who you are. You understand who you are. I want to tell you, church, say, Lord, open my understanding. In the book of Luke, the Bible said Jesus opened their understanding. He opened their understanding. So if your understanding is closed in a certain way, say, Lord, open my understanding. Find the scripture and put it up, media team. Last chapter of Luke, Jesus opened their understanding that they were able now to comprehend. You see, situations come in our life and tend to sweep us up. And we forget who we are. Forget that we are royal priesthood, holy nation. You see here? Luke 24:45. And he opened their what? Come on. He what? Opened their understanding that they might what? Comprehend what? What are you going to meditate in? The scripture. So you need your understanding to be what? Open. Meditate on this word. Read it over and over. And say, Lord, open my understanding. Thank you, media team. Give the media team a hand. They're helping us. Praise God. So we forget that we are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We forget that he has called us for his own purpose. We forget purpose. We forget value, who we are. And we value ourselves based on what we have. We value ourselves based on who's in our corner. Now, I'm not discounting when good people are in your corner. That's a great thing. Thank God for them. Give the Lord a hand for the people that's in your corner. We love them. We appreciate them. But I want to tell you, somebody's in your corner. The Bible says, if mother and father forsake you, then will I pick you up. Amen. What he's saying, mother and father are the closest to you. They are your greatest supporters. Everybody can turn their back on you, but mommy and daddy is going to pick you up. But you remember the prodigal son? He left. But when the father saw him, the father what? Opened his arms and welcomed him. My son which was lost is now found. My son which was dead is now what? Alive. Remember that you have a great God. And remember that your God doesn't sleep, nor does he slumbers. He doesn't need a day off. He's not like the gods of Baal. When Elijah went up on the mountain and he challenged them on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel brought her 400 prophets of Baal to come to challenge the true and the living God. He said, whichever God answers by fire, that is the God. And they called all day, and they weep, and they kick, and they mourn, and they cut themselves. And guess what Mr. Elijah said? He said, maybe your God has gone to relieve himself. Cry a little louder. Maybe he cannot hear. But I want to tell you today, the Bible says, God hears the cry of your heart before you even hear the cry of your voice. He hears the cry of your supplication. He hears the cry of your mourning. He feels what you feel. And he doesn't leave you there. But what he's moved towards you. He's moved by your feelings. He moves towards you. Amen. So there's no need to take the counsel of the world. There's no need to talk like the world. There's no need to bow to the system of the world. Don't sell your soul for money. I said, don't sell your soul for money. Don't sell yourself cheap. If you're in a bind and you feel like you can't make it, find a brother, find a sister in the church and say, hey, I'm in a bind right now. You see, that's why relationship is good in the church. I'm in a bind right now. And I'm about to commit myself to something because I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my bills. So I'm about to get into something. Help me here. Give me some counsel. Give me some wise counsel. I'm about to take somebody to help me with my kids because he said he loves me. No, talk to somebody about it. Find a pastor. Come and sit down with a pastor. Get some counseling. Don't just sell yourself cheap. I'm going into business, but I know this business is not fully bad, but it's not fully straight. It's in the gray area. Get some counsels. Talk to somebody about it. Because what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for failure. You may not fail in the eyes of man right away, but in God's eyes, he sees. He says his eyes go to and fro looking upon the children of men. Am I making sense this morning? Am I making sense? Sit down. Get some counsel so that you can please God. And then you can inherit the blessings of God. Too often we're afraid, so we make poor choices. We're afraid that we're going to fail. But I got a scripture for you. Matthew 28 verse 10. This is when Jesus rose from the grave. He looked at the disciples and he said, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. When Jesus rose from the dead, according to Matthew, he said two things in verse 9. Go to verse 9. We'll pull it and then we'll run back. Verse 9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, that's when they went to the tomb, they saw the tomb was empty, they left the tomb and they were running to say to the disciples, the body of Jesus is missing. We got it? Behold, Jesus met them. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say?
Rejoice.
What did Jesus say?
Rejoice.
What did Jesus say?
Rejoice.
Why you think I want you to rejoice? Because Jesus wants you to rejoice. Why you think I want you to praise God? Because Jesus wants you to praise God. Why you think I want you to dance and celebrate the goodness of God? That's what he wants. He don't want you to be cast down, mopey. You know, you see some mopey people in the world. And those same people, when they get saved, they get the joy of the Lord.
Yes,
That is God's will for everyone. Because what does the Holy Spirit bear in us? Joy. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. Christians ought to be joyful people.
Yes.
Oh. I've always been like this. And I'm going to always be like this. That's a counsel of the devil. That's a counsel of the world. The Bible said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Tell somebody be transformed. Tell somebody it's time to be transformed. High five somebody. Say, I am being transformed. Say, I am being transformed. Say, I am being transformed. There is no holding back. I'm going all the way. Come on, say, I'm going all the way. I'm going to show you how powerful the words you use are in a second. And then Jesus said to them in verse 10, do not be what? Afraid. So every time fear comes, is it from the Lord?
No.
So Jesus tell him to what? Rejoice. So when you're sad, is that from God?
No.
No, God don't want you to be sad. If you have reason to mourn, that's a different thing. You with me?
Yes.
Mourning is when you lose someone. That's a different thing. But other than that, God wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is something vital for the church. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You got that? The joy of the Lord is what? Who will sign up for strength? I want more strength. I want greater strength. I want strength physically, and I want strength spiritually. I want strength mentally, everything. So I sign, say,
I receive
joy.
Joy.
I receive strength.
Strength.
I will rejoice.
Rejoice.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sadness. Dark cloud.
Dark
cloud. Mopey.
Mopey.
I will not mope.
But
I will have hope.
In
Jesus' name.
Yes.
Come on, give the Lord a praise.
That
is not rhyming. That's a word of God. And a little rhyming. Give me hope. I will not mope. All week, sing that. I'm not going to mope. I will have. Because when you have hope, you'll be able to cope. And you don't have to use no dope. I'm up to something here. Rewind it. Yes. Listen. When you have hope. What else? You will cope? You don't need no dope? There was four. Wait. Oh, I will not mope. Because I have hope. I won't use no dope. And what's the other one? That's three. So we can cope. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Sing that all week. You'll have a better week. So, I will not be afraid. He said, do not be afraid, but rejoice. Keep your heads up. Keep your heads up. Blessed people keep their head up. Because number one, your sins are forgiven. Number two, you are set up for a bright future. Because of the promises of God. He says, I know. I what? The plans I have for you. Plans to what? Prosper you. Stop right there. Oh my God, I like this. This is so cool. Plans to prosper you. So, we're going to watch the counsel we take. I'm going to share one more point. We'll do the second part next week. 2 Corinthians 5:7. In the kingdom, we do not take the counsel of fear and timidity, but we take the counsel of faith. We do not take the counsel of fear, but we take the counsel of faith. Now, for we what? Walk by faith. Oh, that's cliche. This church is faith church, so obviously they're going to say that. No. You know, walk represents your journey. Faith represents your dependence on God. We walk by, We walk by?
Faith.
We walk by?
Faith.
We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sight can trip you up. Sight can trip you up. Sight highlights your weakness. Sight highlights your failures. Sight highlights your current position, your current situation. But faith tells you about the future. I said faith tells you about the future. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things what? The things hoped for. When you hope, do you have it?
No.
I said, when you hope, do you have it?
No.
No. Hoping is what you're believing for.
Yes.
Right? In this sense.
Yes.
Hope is what you are believing for. Like, I'm believing God. I want $10,000. I don't have it right now. But what? I have an expectation that God will do it. Let me share a quick testimony. I was here Wednesday night. And I felt the Lord said to sow $100. You guys remember that? Well, I didn't tell you guys how much, but I sowed $100. By this weekend, somebody met me and gave me $800. Hold on. How many times is that? Eight times. You know what I then did? I looked for somebody else to sow another $100 to. Because the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time. Hold on. There will be what? Seed time. If you don't do seed time, you can't get the next part. If the farmer never sows the seed, can he get a harvest? We say these things, but we don't stop to analyze what it is saying. You ask any blessed person, any person that have experienced financial miracles. I'm not talking about going to work and get a paycheck. That's easy.
Yes.
Anybody can get a job. But not anybody can get the prosperity and the favor of God. What unlocks the prosperity and the favor of God is seed.
Yes.
Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he what? So if you never sow money, you can never reap money. You with me?
Yeah.
Say amen, man.
Amen.
I said, if you never sow money, you can never reap money.
Amen.
The reason I want you to sow is so that you can get your harvest. If you sow, you will then have the opportunity to what? All right, let's say it again. You have the opportunity to what?
Reap.
It's reap. Say reap.
Reap.
So as long as the earth remains, there will be what? Seed time. And the next part is what? Find that scripture. The next part is harvest. We all love harvest. We pray for a harvest of souls to come into the church. But if we never sow, we can never get people to church. When we pray, we should pray for God to deliver them out of the bondage that is holding them. It's a prayer that the Lord will send what? Laborers. That the church will go out and sow into the world. That's how you'll get souls. You got to go and sow. All right, go ahead. Give me the scripture. While the earth remains, what is there? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day, okay, move the scripture. Day and night, what? Shall not cease. What that's saying? As long as the earth remains, these things will be there. So the more you sow is the more you set yourself up to receive. If you don't sow into people's life, you can't get good relationship. If you don't invest, if you don't pick up the phone and talk to someone, call someone, you can't have a relationship with them. Are you with me? When I wanted to fall in love with Pastor Cher, I got her number and I called her. The Holy Ghost did not send her. You with me? Tell somebody, sow something. Tell them, sow something. Come on, high five them now and tell them, sow something. High five them, high five them. Give them a good, strong high five. Tell them, sow something. And you're going to get the result. Amen? Good. So we walk by what? Faith. We walk by what? Faith. That is how the kingdom works. That is one of the mysteries of the kingdom, is seed. Seed is not, there is no way I can break it down, but God has to unlock your understanding so the revelation can go through. Now, there are some that will say, okay, I see pastors doing it. I see the church people are doing it. So I'm going to do it. But then there are some that will be here for 5, 10 years and never sow. Because maybe there's greed in your heart. Money is your God. You love money. You know that, right? You know people love money? Or as the Bible wouldn't say, the Bible said the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. It says the money is just some people. You say you can't serve God and mammon. So that means some people love their money so much. That's what they depend on. Are you with me? When you depend on money, let me give you a good scripture. Who wants the scripture? You want the scripture? The Bible says riches can take wings. Somebody say hallelujah. Say riches can take wings. Say riches can take wings. But the Lord will stand forever. The Lord remains forever. The goodness of the Lord goes on from generation to generation. So, we walk by faith, not by what we see. Sis, can you share your testimony from last week? No, you can't share your testimony. Oh, so come. That was nice, right? Oh, good.
Oh, you know, Sunday when Pastor said, you know, we must give to Jamaica, I hear the Holy Spirit said to me, $500, but I know I only had $200. And I said, $500, what a tool me have. But anyway, I went to work and I was talking to my brother in the morning. And when I finished, my client daughter said to me, you're going to send stuff for your family? I said, yes. And she said, I'm going to give you some money. And guess how much you give me? The same $300. So, you know, it's good to be obedient to the Holy Spirit because he know how he's going to make provision for it.
Did you hear that? So, who's going to sow? Yeah. Sow something. Believe God. Say, God, this is called a seed faith. This is not my offering. This is not my tithe. This is my seed of faith. And when you obey the voice of God, God blows your mind. I said, God blows your mind. I said, God blows your mind. So do you believe it now?
Yes.
Okay, God, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Say, Lord, thank you for unlocking my understanding. Let the mysteries of the kingdom come to me. Let it be clear that I may soar, that I may soar, that I may soar, that I may live a blessed life. Say, I want to live a blessed life. Say, I want to live a blessed life, a favored life, prospered life, prosperous life, a preferred life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you one more scripture. Next week, we're going to get to the mouth part. This week is walking by faith. We get up to that. Obeying the word and walking by faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. Now, faith doesn't come from your head. Faith comes from God. Faith does not come from your head, but it comes from God. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. What did we open with? I'm going to meditate on the word of God. If you want faith, you got to stay in the word, but you also got to consistently come to the house of God. That you can. Let's back up. Back up 3 verses. Okay, let's stay right here. How then shall they call on him whom they have not what? Read with me. And how shall they believe in whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a what? Okay. So how does faith come? Now faith comes by hearing and hearing the preacher. The more you come here and you hear me preach, it's the more faith you will receive. It's the more your dependence on God will increase. It's the more you will feel strong. It's the more you will grow in grace. It's the more you will prosper. But you got to keep what? Say, keep coming. Say, keep coming. Now, this is not for those that are visiting today. Please forgive me, right? But you can keep coming also. But this is for you and everyone that listens and hears, those watching online. You gotta keep coming, because what comes? Faith comes. If you don't come, faith can't come. I say, if you don't come, faith can't come. Doubt is gonna definitely come. Unbelief is gonna definitely come. Fear is going to definitely come. Timidity is going to definitely come. Thoughts of failure will definitely come. Misery will come. But when you come, what comes to you? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the preached word of God. Read the Amplified and you'll see that. Here comes by hearing the preached word of God. So back to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible. Meaning there is not a chance for you to please God. You get saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. If you get saved by walking out on the edge, you're not walking by sight, but you're walking. Faith is leads you to impossible things. Faith leads you into the impossibility and makes it possible. Faith puts you out on the edge. And you got to jump off the edge. Because if you don't jump off the edge, you're still standing on your own feet. But when you jump off the edge, you say, God, I'm trusting you. And I'm waiting on you. That's what waiting means. I'm casting myself on you. Yes. I'm not fixing it, but I'm waiting on you. That is my faith. You've got to jump to where it is not safe. You can never experience God where it is safe. I say you can't experience God where it's safe. Where did God take them to the Red Sea? What did he say to Moses? Why are you calling on me? He said, I've already equipped you. Use what you have in your hand. God has already equipped the church. He's given them the Holy Ghost. The spirit of faith is in you. The spirit of faith is in you. Get out on the edge. Do some risky things this week. Trust God in some areas that you've been fearing. Go far above and beyond and watch God answer you and watch God blow your mind. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please. Who wants to please God? I'm sure we all do. We all want to please God. We all want to make God happy. You know when somebody pleases you, you're good to them? When someone pleases you, you are kind to them. Now, if somebody pleases you and you're still wicked, and you're still evil, you're wicked. And you're evil. They're good to you, but you're evil to them. God deals with those people. The Bible says their Redeemer is strong. God will deal with you. As children of God, we have to be kind, we have to be considerate, and we have to be wise. Amen? Good. For we want to please God, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Next part. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is the I am that I am, the true and the living God, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, the one that set the earth in motion, that created all things. This is how we can see, oh, this is just church. No, we're coming to God. When you come in these walls, you're coming to God. When you're praying at home, you're praying to God. Your heavenly Father. So you're not praying to an idol. You're not praying to an ideology. You're not praying to a philosophy. But you're praying to God Almighty. And I want to share one more piece of news with you. I think the Bible is made up of 2,500 prophecies. And over 2,000 were already fulfilled. So if you think this is just some religion, no, no, no. This is dealing with God. And there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus. So renew your mind to what it is you're involved in. Renew your mind. Get it right. So look here. When you come to him, you must believe that he what?
Is.
Help turn this mic up for me. He what?
Is.
And that he is a what?
Rewarder.
A rewarder. Thank you. So I don't have to shout too much. That he is a rewarder of who? Oh. God has a reward system. And God's reward system works with sacrifice. God's reward system is based on sacrifice. Why? Those who will what? Diligently seek Him. To be diligent will take sacrifice. To keep your mind in check will take sacrifice. To keep your focus on God will take sacrifice. You're going to have to fight against everything around you. Joseph is such a good example. Joseph had to sacrifice imminent pleasure. When Potiphar's wife held on to him, I'm sure Potiphar did not have no so-so wife. He probably had a hot wife. Right? And Joseph could have got, la, la, la. But he had to what? Sacrifice. And remain diligent to his God. And to say, I refuse to corrupt my name and embarrass my God. It will take sacrifice for you to gain rewards. God doesn't look like man. Look, a lot of times we just pat and say, oh, God bless you. You know what? That's right where you're going to really, you're going to remain. A pat and God bless you. But when you're diligent to God and you're focused on God and you're seeking to live for God and to please God, He says He is a rewarder of those that will what? Diligently seek Him. So whoever comes to God or whoever comes near to God. Now watch this. Some of us are going to get saved, but we never got near. Many of us get saved, but we never get near to God. You know, Jesus had circles. He had the 120. He had the 72. He had the 12. And then he had three. Those three had to prove themselves in order to become three. They were all called in the 12. But in order for them to stand out, they had to be diligent. This is not a participation trophy. You know what the participation trophy is? Salvation. Everybody gets that. But not everybody gets reward. You know who the reward is stored up for? The diligent. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're becoming diligent. Say, neighbor, you're going to get your reward if you make sacrifices for God. Say, make sacrifice and get your reward. Say, neighbor, don't leave your reward on the table. Pick it up in Jesus' name. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.